Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us on At Home with Victoria. I'm very excited about tonight because we get to talk fashion, but not only just your regular fashion. We have a fashion designer who is going to be joining the show tonight all the way from Canada, and I'm quite excited about this. I think you can probably tell by my voice. For those of you that are listening to the show for the first time, I want to again say hello. I am Victoria Gaither, television news anchor, reporter, and media host. At Home with Victoria is a show that we do a lot of variety of topics, news, information, entertainment. Michael Kay is my entertainment co-host, and Michael's job is to, kind of bring his own flair to At Home with Victoria. So it was Michael who decided to invite Dean Renwick onto the show tonight. So we're going to go ahead and get the conversation started by bringing Michael Kay, my entertainment co-host, into the show. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good evening, Victoria. How are you? Happy Veterans Day.
Yes, happy Veterans Day. Also, I had a birthday yesterday.
You did. How did that go? I heard you got some wicked great presents.
Yes, I did, love. So I got my Malibu Pilates machine, and that was what I wanted. But my sweetheart kind of tricked me because he waited for the entire day. So it wasn't until about, I'd say about 10:45 at night that he says to me, "Hey, honey, I think you need to walk the dog." So, Michael, I go out on the porch, and there's this big Pilates machine with a big bow on it. So I was very, very happy, needless to say.
He's a crafty one, that one. Were you thinking that he forgot, or?
Yeah, actually I did. Well, no, not necessarily. I didn't think that he forgot, but Victor is a doctor, so he's really, really, really busy, doing his doctor stuff and taking care of patients. So I didn't think he forgot. I just thought, he got tied up at the medical center or he just didn't have time to order it. But I definitely didn't think he forgot. But, that was kind of cruel making me wait all the way until, 10:45, 11 o'clock at night.
Well worth the wait, though, I suppose. Well, of course it is. I mean,
yes,
it's fantastic.
Yes.
What a good gift.
Yes, it was. And speaking of well worth the wait, so Dean is already in the queue. We're going to get to him in a moment. But I always like to ask you this question, just get your thoughts on why it is that you like to bring certain people on the show. So what is it about Dean? I think I know because his fashions are just so darling. I've had the opportunity to look at him. But give me your perspective on him before we bring him on the air.
Well, I've known Dean for probably around at least 23 years. That's how far. We used to live in the same town, Regina, Saskatchewan, and his shop is actually literally 5 minutes away from my old apartment, so we used to run into each other. And he's been traveling internationally through the U.S. and Canada doing his designs. He was working in L.A. with Azar Woods and moved back to Canada to start up his own shop. And, yeah, his designs are fantastic. He's a really great guy, but he does so much more than just design clothing. He really listens to his clients, like I'm sure everybody does. But Saskatchewan's a very niche market, and he's also pioneering a lot in the television field. There's a lot of television going on right now and filming in Regina, Saskatchewan. So you got to go sometime, Vic. It's a lovely, lovely place.
Yeah, in fact, I was getting ready to ask you this other quick question before we get Dean on. Of course, I've never been there before, and that's the area where you were born and raised. So tell us a little bit about the area. Like, what does it look like? What are the people like? What kind of feel of a town is it?
Regina is about a population of 175,000, all pretty much all farmers, little business, but small business, which I'm really glad we have them on the show before the holidays too, but a lot of small businesses in the Regina area. It's very scenic. It's home to the provincial capital buildings, and it houses the University of Saskatchewan. And the people are lovely. The skies are the bluest you've ever seen. We're smack dab located in the middle of the country, right above Montana. So we're grain farmers, down to earth, and we like fashion too, but Saskatchewan doesn't get a lot of it.
Wow. I have to say you really did a great job describing the area, especially when you talked about the blue skies. That certainly makes me want to go. Well, without any further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring Dean into the conversation on At Home with Victoria. Hi, Dean. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Hello.
Michael and I are absolutely wonderful.
Excellent.
Happy Remembrance Day, Dean.
Thank you very much.
I want to officially welcome you to the show. And, Dean, as we have it on At Home with Victoria, Michael is always the first one who gets to throw out the first question. So before he does that, Michael, we've got a lot of people visiting inside the chat room, so I want to say hi to all of our Canadian audience tonight that's listening to Dean and everyone inside the chat room. Michael and I and Dean do appreciate you being here. Michael, you've got the first question. Go ahead.
Hey, Dean, buddy. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing fantastic. So, Dean, let me ask you, I know a little bit about you, but were you the quintessential young designer sketching away dresses in his room late at night under the covers and finally made the way to did you go to school for design? I don't even know that.
Yes, I did. After high school, I went to college. I went to Los Angeles to FIDM, Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising.
Right.
But before that, I was always in school sketching designs and sewing late at night. I've been sewing since I was about 8 years old, and I've been making Barbie doll clothes. I started with Barbie doll clothes, actually. So late at night, I would be in my room with the lights on and trying to be quiet, sewing things by hand, so that way I wasn't in bed, and I was trying to be quiet so my mom wouldn't hear me. So
I think everybody made Barbie doll clothes, didn't they, Vic? Did you make Barbie doll clothes?
Actually, I didn't make Barbie doll clothes, but I certainly was the type of girl that definitely wanted to always be inside the stores and actually buy them. So, Dean, so 8 years old, you're in there sewing and you're making clothes. So how is it that you realized that you were able to actually sew? How did you know that you had that gift?
It was my grandmother who first started us, my sister and I. She had an old treadle Singer sewing machine, and we used to just sit by her feet and watch her sew, and then next thing you know, we started learning things, picking up things, and she had us just playing with threads and needles and doing all kinds of stuff, and I realized at a young age, oh my God, I think I have a talent for this, and it just kind of...
Dean, you there?
Yep. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. But you were talking about sitting by your grandma's feet by the... My grandmother used to have one of those, too, where it was a pedal. Was that the one you're talking about?
Yes, exactly. The one that you work with your own foot.
Yeah.
Manually instead of electronic.
Yeah, those were the days.
You know, Dean, it's actually funny, Michael, that you mentioned that, because today, you know, during the course of the day when we have a show, I always kind of think about the guests and questions that I may want to ask. And one of the questions, Dean, that I wanted to ask you was about the technology. So I'm just going to slide that question in since you guys kind of touched on that. So is sewing now a lot more easier with the technology today than, let's say, it was maybe, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago for you?
Yes and no. I have an industrial machine as well as a couple home machines. I'm not crazy about the new electronic machines because everything's preset and you can't override anything. I personally think the older machines, like older cars, are much better. When you try to fix them, it's less work as compared to, say, the new cars that are all electronic and it costs way more to fix them. Same with the sewing machines. The electronic machines are so expensive to fix, whereas an old machine, it's just a little bit of tinkering and there you go, it's done.
Yeah.
Sometimes like electronic gadgets don't benefit our lives. It just costs more to do things with them.
Well, and everything started off with the needle and thread, so I mean, that I think that would be the easiest start in that.
Exactly. When you look at the couture houses in Paris, like Chanel, I think they own one machine and that's it. Everything else is done by hand, literally from the ground up. It's all sewn by hand. Yes. Yeah. If you ever watched that movie about Valentino, the last emperor, there's a section how they got a machine and nobody in the place could use it. And now it just sits in the corner collecting dust.
I love it. Wow.
Yeah.
And you know, I initially thought that you were going to say that the modern technology was better and that it made your life better. So that is quite interesting to me. That's a lot of food for thought.
Well, I actually bought an embroidery machine. It does embroidery and stitches, and it's a very expensive machine, and it's all electronic. And I've bought it, and I don't even know how to run it. My sister runs it, and she had to go take classes on it. And I just look at it, and it scares the bejesus out of me. So I don't even go near it. I don't even own a cell phone because I don't know how to run it. Plus, I refuse to be that connected to the world.
That's grassroots, boy.
That's very grassroots, yeah.
Yeah, Dean, let's go back to L.A. when you were in L.A. for a while. You designed for Azure Woods. How was that for you? Did you fine tune your craft there, or what was the most influential part of that?
Well, working for Azure Woods, it was a custom house in Los Angeles, and we worked with some of the wealthiest women in America, and we did couture work. We did custom fittings, handwork, the whole bit. We worked in some of the finest fabrics available. And that really did give me an amazing sense of fit and style and perspective on bodies, and also as well as a fine craftsmanship hand, and that's what I really learned there. Now, I've worked for many other companies. I've worked from budget to high-end couture, and my specialty is more high-end clothing. Budget's fun, but when you work in budget, it's all about cutting pennies and how cheap can you get. You know, whereas mm-hmm. couture is all about luxury and fit and just pure line and pure style. So,
right. Wow.
Well, let me ask you this question. When you talked about couture, you know, I'm sure also there in Canada, a lot of folks are having difficult time with their money, as here in the United States, you know, money is tight with the economy and so on and so forth. Have you been finding it difficult as a designer that you're having trouble, selling those couture pieces, or has business still been pretty much normal for you in that respect?
Well, actually, in all reality, the province I live in, Saskatchewan, is what the only province in all of Canada and the United States that has the recession has not hit. We actually made CNN News about that. They put out an article about how Saskatchewan has not been hit by the recession. So I haven't had any problems that way. I'm just starting to see a little bit of people within the last, I don't know, 5-6 months, starting to hold back a little bit because we know it's going to hit here soon. Or eventually it'll come. It's a trickle-down thing, right? Starts in one end and
yeah.
It trickles down to the other. So, but we still have lots of jobs and lots of availability here. What I am up against, though, is people in this province, we've never really had fine fashion in our city, so sometimes you have to educate the people and show them what it is. We're sometimes, I hate to say it, but sometimes we're like a Walmart city. So.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Think,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I was going to say, I personally don't necessarily think that there's anything like that at all, because when you said that, like, for example, I think about areas as a, Michael, as a television reporter and news anchor that I've worked at in the U.S., and definitely for sure I can say some of those cities and some of those communities and towns are exactly, Dean, what you just said. They're kind of like, you know, Walmart in that sense. So I think that right there is just across the board. And, you know, the other thing, too, that I was thinking is that a lot of people, when you talked about having to educate people, a lot of people probably think that something like perhaps that you design, or Michael and I, friend Anthony, who's a couture designer who works for HSN and he makes his own fashions, I think some people would probably think that it's completely out of their price range, and they would never even think about asking, you know, could they even buy something of yours. So I think that may be an interesting point as well.
Actually, it is. I remember I put a couple advertisements in some bridal magazines here in the city. And I had a few clients that came up to me, and they said, oh, is this your ad? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, oh, well, we weren't going to call you because you're in this book and you seem like you're too expensive. It's like, really?
Yeah.
And that kind of took me back a little bit. So I ended up no longer advertising in the book, because the best advertising in our city is word of mouth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Would you also agree, though, too, that it's the – it's not so much that they're uneducated, it's just that Saskatchewan people have a different value system. When I was living in Regina, yeah, there was a few of us who you know, knew the designers and everything like that, but it's just a different value system. People don't put the value on spending a huge amount of money on clothing. Would you agree?
Interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've also been finding as a designer, the clothes that I do custom make for people here, I keep pretty classic, and I don't go overboard because when they do pay my price, they want to be able to wear it from now to 10 years from now. They don't want to have it a shelf life of, say, 6 to 8 months and then the trend's over. So I don't do a lot of trendy, flashy things. I do beautifully quiet, classic pieces. And I always say, ooh, I look like money and you don't, even though I don't have it. So that's the one thing I learned working at Azar Woods is the difference between old money and new money. Old money, classic, beautiful, always look tailored, put together pieces. New money, flashy, garish, and trendy.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Old money will always have old money because they dress classically.
Exactly.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Good point. Well, Dean, we want to just say very quickly, we want to give a special shout out to your mother because she is inside the chat room with a whole slew of other guests. And also, I do want to give you this question. Dale Ann Potter is inside the chat room, and she says something about that you did a makeover with her. But she has a question. She wants to know, are you still happy that you returned to Canada? Are you still happy about that decision, Dean?
When I first came back in 97, I hated it because I wasn't ready to come back. But now that I'm back, I absolutely love it. I love where I'm at. I love the people. I love the city. In fact, our city, it's actually grown. I think it's closer to 200,000 people now, and we're finding a lot more people moving back here from the East Coast and the West Coast. This is a city where you can actually live. You're not just surviving, you're living. And to get across the city during rush hour is 20 minutes, and that's 2 stoplights,
love
and that's it.
It.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's such a huge difference, and it's a calmness and quietness, and it's not overrun with busyness and high prices.
Right. Dean, what portion of you think that growth is due to the burgeoning television industry now? I mean, you're actually assistant designer for the hit Canadian TV show Corner Gas, which is hilarious. I've seen tapes of it. And
very cool.
Yeah. Do you think film work is a big portion of that boom?
It was for a while, but it's kind of settled down now. The movie industry has kind of taken a dive because our new existing government is no longer supporting it. We used to have a lot of good tax breaks and a lot of government money that was being funded into it, and the new government here is no longer doing that as much. So we're finding that some of the movies and the industry is starting to die a bit here. I found it ironic. I came back from Hollywood to work in the movie industry in Regina. That was the weirdest thing. But being on the hit show Corner Gas was a lot of fun, and being an assistant designer was crazy. I had only done a little bit of movie stuff in Los Angeles, but I've done way more here, that's for sure.
Yeah. Do you find the budget the same from Hollywood?
Pardon?
Do you find the budgets, the production budgets are kind of similar from Hollywood to Saskatchewan? I mean, granted,
no, the Saskatchewan movies are a lower budget. I think the highest we've had is maybe a $7 to $8 million movie here.
Yeah.
That's about it, as opposed to, say, a James Cameron movie, which is, what, $800 million kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Dean, yeah, thank you. You know, something that I was thinking about when the young lady, Dell, inside the chat room asked if you were happy about making a decision to move back there. Because I, you know, being in television news, I've lived in every single major city in America, being a news anchor, and something that I didn't understand earlier on in my career, you know, Michael and Dean, there were always, you know, television anchors in these small towns, and they were very, very good, and I always knew that they had the ability to make the jump to larger markets, because larger markets, you know, it's like, where are you going to make more money? Plus, you get more exposure. And I always wonder, why do these people stay here? And I thought, is it lack of ambition? They just don't want to go anywhere. But then what was funny, as I got to be, you know, older and get older in my career, one day I realized why those people stay there. And I thought, well, hell, because they make a lot of money for the size of the town that they're working in. Life is great. They don't have to worry about traffic. They simply come in there. They, you know, they do their newscast. They write their story. They get to go home and literally sit down with their family for an hour and a half, whereas in the city, you know, we're busy ripping and running and covering crimes and murders and shooting. So that came across my mind when you talked about the decision going back and that you actually liked it. So it's funny how even in my perspective in my career, I came full circle, you know, in order to be able to see that. So now I'm one of these people who would rather live in a small town, but, you know, if I need to, if I'm on a story or something, I don't mind going to the larger city to work, but not so much anymore having to live there.
Yeah, I absolutely hear you. A city that I'm in Regina, it's just quality of life is a lot better. I think bigger cities like Los Angeles are for the young. You go, you make your mark, and either you make it or you don't. And I went to LA there for 15 years, and the reason, like I'll be honest, the reason why I'm back in Regina is back in 97, I was partying too hard, and I had to come back and dry out. I came back, I dried out, I realized I really have no more friends left in L.A. I might as well stay here and make a go of it because the quality of life is better and I'm not killing myself trying to make the rent.
Plus,
I have an amazing support system here of family and friends. I run my business with my family. My sister does my sewing. My mother does all the office work and the accounting. And my other sister helps out at trade shows and fashion shows. So I have what so many designers want, but is very, very hard to achieve in a bigger city. Way more competition, way more money needed, and maybe not the biggest support system that you have because your family is back home in a smaller town kind of thing.
And everybody in a smaller town tends to be your family, too. Now, you're, I hate to go ahead and switch threads here, but I want to get this in and stuff. I'm so excited you're working with Grant Bray and Krista Stevenson on the Diva on the Go and the Diva Ultra. Vic, this is a fantastic product that he's offering his clients. Dean, go ahead and talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's basically the three of us. I'm the wardrobe person, Grant Bray is the hairdresser, and Krista Stevenson is the makeup artist. And all three of us, we basically do a whole what not to wear, if you've seen that show.
Right.
We start at on a Sunday. We do it on a Sunday. We start at your house at 10 o'clock in the morning. We go into your closet, and we start going through your stuff with you, and we make you try everything on. And we show you, I show you what works, what doesn't, what color should be thrown out, why it doesn't work, what we can do to alter it. Instead of throwing stuff out, I really like to alter a lot of stuff because I'm a great alterationist. So I'll show you how to save things by shortening it or taking it in or turning it into something completely different. And so we do that, and we start at 10 a.m., and we're there for about 2 to 3 hours. And then from there, we go over to Grant Bray's salon, and we have a little Italian lunch and mimosas. And Grant Bray starts going through the hair process with you. He starts consulting on your hair and telling you what you should be wearing and how it should be done in the color. And then we cut and color it and do what we need to do. And then from there, we go over to Krista's store and do the makeup. Same thing, consultation, and then she does your makeup, and then we're finished. And at the end of the reveal, you're allowed to have as many people you want come in, and we always say, make sure your husband's going to take you out for dinner. And also, Grant's husband, Mario, is an Italian man, and he videotapes the whole thing. So at the end, a week later, we turn over a DVD to you of your whole day. And at the end of the DVD, the three of us reiterate what we went through, and we tell you, okay, this is what you need, this is what you don't need, don't forget to look for this, make sure that you're doing that. And so if you're ever in question of what went on that day, you just pop in the DVD and ta-da, there it is.
Wow. Isn't that fantastic, Vic?
That is wonderful, fantastic. And speaking of, I'm just so excited about that. I just think that's wonderful. But one of my friends inside the chat room who I haven't seen in a long time, Goofy Bone, he says, Dean, do you do a man makeover as well?
Well, we haven't done one yet. We haven't had a man sign up, but we are so waiting for it. We so want to do it. You can actually catch our before and after. I was going to say you can catch
like
our before
idea.
And afters. Pardon?
I'm sorry. No, I wanted to get back to that last point to tell you that I like the idea of you guys videotaping the whole thing so that, you know, whenever someone has a question or they perhaps can't remember something that the three of you talked about, it's just a matter of sitting down, popping that tape in, and they can go directly to it.
Absolutely. It makes it worth it. I mean, if you're going to spend that kind of money on yourself, at least you've got something at the end that helps you and educates you. I would rather teach a woman how to dress and what to shop for and look for to work on her body than be a personal shopper and just go buy stuff and bring it back. I'd rather take you out and let's try everything on and let's make sure this is how it should fit. This is the part of your body we're trying to camouflage, and this is the type, the part of the body that we want to emphasize and show them.
I love the idea. I love the fact that you love altering. In this economy right now, it's so important to just go back, and if you've bought classic pieces, it may just be adding shoulder pads or taking the cut in a little bit, but you're not wasting your cash. I just love that idea for the holidays.
Well,
yeah,
what
Michael,
I do, my custom work is a luxury, but I opened an alteration studio I opened my studio 2 years ago for alterations because I felt what I did is a luxury, but alterations are a necessity.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and in this day and age, like you said, it's so much better to recycle and save as opposed to just throw it out and buy new.
Right.
I think both of you are really, really making a great point, and that was something, honestly, that during the course of this conversation I didn't even think about. But just want to take one moment just to pause and thank all of the guests that we have inside the chat room. Dean's mom is with us also. Hello to Dean's mother. Dell Ann Potter is in the chat room. Dean, I believe Dell must know you. We've got our guests inside there also. One of my fans who shares my same name, the one and only Victoria, is inside the chat room, and Goofy Bone as well. If any of you are interested in seeing some of Dean's fashions and his designs, I had the opportunity to look at them yesterday and the day before. Michael Kay has put his website information inside the chat room. So go ahead and click on. It's DeanRenwickDesignStudio.com. Go ahead and click on, you know, as we have this conversation, you can take a look at some of his designs. Dean, do want to ask you one question, because I also get emails from other people that's not in the chat room as the show goes along. Everybody always asks this question, Michael, whenever we have a fashion designer on. They want to know, do you watch Project Runway on Bravo, and do you like it?
I liked it at first. I haven't watched the last two seasons of the American one, but about 3 years ago they did this. They started doing the Canadian one, and I was interviewed for it, and I almost got the chance to be on it. Except they were going down to L.A. Their second assignment, I think they were going to L.A. And because of stupidity reasons, when I was younger, I'm no longer allowed to cross the border at this point. So when they found that out, they realized, oh, well, we can't take them. So they didn't have me go any further, unfortunately. And then the second season, I decided not. I know it sucks, but the second season, I decided not to enter because I had some other things going on and I just couldn't afford the time. And then they quit running the show, so they haven't furthered it anymore. So unfortunately, I can't enter it again.
Yeah, I like that show too, but you know the time limits and constraints would just drive me crazy after a while. You know, especially when they come at the last minute and they say, "All right, you have 7 hours left, but we need an entire collection from you. Hurry, hurry!" And everybody goes crazy. I mean, that drives me crazy after a while, but.
That's what the movie industry is like. We do it all the time when we're working in the movie industry. It's hurry up and get it done, you know. Literally, you have to have things done within hours and overnight. So the pressure is I work really well under pressure. So I think I would have done good on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and you know, too, that pressure that you talk about in getting it done, that is basically what television news is as well. You know, when you guys think about when you see us on the news and it's breaking news and we're getting that information then and there, it's actually the same thing. But, Dean, you're right, because like Michael said, something like that would drive him crazy. And to know his personality, that really would drive him crazy. But like
yeah.
you, I thrive under pressure. I love breaking news. I love to only be able that I've got to do something. Somebody says, "Hey, Victoria, I need you to go do this and do it now," and you only get one take. I love everything about that.
It is, actually. It's a great way to work sometimes. Sometimes it's a little crazy, but lots of people just work way better under pressure.
And that's why we make such a good team, Victoria. You know that's why.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anyways, Dean, I want to go ahead and get this in, too. Grad Galore Fashion and Trade Show is coming up November 28th from noon to 5 at the Delta Hotel. You're going to be taking part in that. I wanted to just make sure we got it in.
Sure. Yes, I'm part of a committee that we're put together an actual, the first ever trade show and fashion show for graduating students. I do a lot of grad gowns here in the city because so many grad dresses just look like your basic cookie cutter grad dresses, and I have a lot of girls who can't find what they're looking for. So we have so many trade shows going on for brides and for women and for men and for other things that the students and young girls and young men of Canada have been completely left out of the loop. So we decided this will be our first time of putting one together and see how it goes. And so far we've had a really, really good good response. So I'm hoping to see what it's going to be like on the 28th, actually. The only problem is the 28th of November is also our Grey Cup here in Canada, which is our football thing. Yeah.
Our football
and,
thing.
yeah, our football thing, right? but our trade show is over before the Grey Cup starts, so let's hope that we get lots of people out.
Well, I wish you a lot of success on that. Vic, do you have anything else for Dean here?
No, I just I'm just really enjoying the conversation. I guess I do probably should get this last question in, because Dean, we have actually pretty much completely run out of time. I just added more time because the conversation was so good, and Michael and I are being greedy with your time. But I do want to ask this last question, and this is a young lady who actually is looking at your work right now on your design studio, and she wants to know just about your inspiration. Where does your inspiration come from when you design and make your beautiful couture dresses?
Good question.
My inspiration comes from all over, magazines, libraries, just the street, from fabric stores, from actual people bringing me pictures of stuff. Just recently, I did the exhibition here in Regina, which is a big fair that comes once a year. And everything I did was from the colors of Saskatchewan. And if you go on my website, you'll see I've done jackets and skirts with photographic prints of Saskatchewan. And that was my inspiration for that. And like Michael said, we have the most bluest skies here in Canada. And when you put that blue sky against the green of the grass or the gold of the wheat, it is amazing. And this year we had so much rain that the grass was so, so green. And the trees were just incredibly green. And against our intense blue sky, it just makes you want to pee your pants. It's so beautiful.
It is. And Vic, you asked this question before about the people of Saskatchewan. Steve and I went back for a family reunion about 11 years ago now, and we were staying at the Hotel Saskatchewan, a fantastic venue, and we were walking down, it's called the Scar Street Walking Mall, and it's all cobblestone and everything like that, and Steve was looking around, and he was kind of getting agitated, so we slipped into this little bar, and I said, what is wrong with you? And Steve said to me, why is everybody smiling here? Like what are they laughing at me? Are they making fun of me? I kid you not. It's like, no, it's called friendly people. They have them here.
You can actually, what I love about this city is everybody, when you pull up to a red light, the first thing you do is look over and see who's in the car next to you. You would never, ever see that in Los Angeles, because somebody might pull a gun. And everybody says, excuse me here. When you walk by somebody and they're in your way, they say, excuse me. Or they'll open the door for you. And they smile and are friendly. So, and that's like, that's a big draw for people to come here to this city.
Yeah, you're definitely right. You know, trying to have something like that in L.A. or for that matter, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I hope I don't get a lot of nasty emails of pretty much most major cities in the U.S. A lot of people aren't doing that. I think in the smaller communities in the U.S., you still have people that will speak and say hi, and you know, the communities are sort of what the two of you are talking about. But I have to tell you, I think both of you should basically talk to the Chamber of Commerce there and be on the postcard, because the way you describe the community, it just sounds like such a wonderful place that anyone would want to go to just to visit.
Yeah, it's not bad at
all. Definitely. Yeah, it's a beautiful place to be. It's small. The shopping is not the best, but the friendly atmosphere and just the fact that you can live here is one of the best things about this place.
Absolutely.
Well, Dean, the last thing I need to get you to say, because Michael and I are really big on this, especially when our mothers join us for the show. So we know that your mom is listening, and she is inside the chat room listening, reading all the wonderful things that everybody is saying about you tonight, by the way. Is there anything special that you want to say to your mom before you have to go?
Absolutely. I mean, without mom, she's my rock. Without my mom, I wouldn't have what I have. She's the one who sent me to LA to teach me so I could learn and realize that at a young age that I have something special and I have a gift. I like to say I have a gift from God and I'm using it in the proper way. And without my mom, I wouldn't have what I have. And without the rest of my family supporting me, I definitely wouldn't have what I have. And what I have is an amazing life.
Cheers.
Okay, you're going to have to go because I'm about to cry now. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so we're going to have to cut this. We're going to have to cut this interview short, Michael. So, Michael, you say the official goodbye because I need to go get some Kleenex. Okay, Michael?
You got it. Dean, buddy, I thank you so very much for joining us. I applaud your success. I continue to follow your career. And, again, like I say to everybody, please consider At Home with Victoria your home, too. So anything you have to get the word out on, please keep us in the loop, and we'd love to go ahead and help you with that.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has like been a great experience. I've never done this before, so I'm completely computer illiterate. So that's another reason why my mom's running it, is because I don't even know how to run that computer. So.
Dale
okay,
Ann Potter says, thank you, Dean, for saving my life.
I can't really talk anymore, Dean. I'm crying, so we're going to let you go.
Well, thank you so much.
She's such a cry.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Dean.
All right, thank you.
Love you.
Michael, I just love him. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Is he not the greatest? Ah.
I know. And again, sincere and talented. I love these sincerely talented people. No fly-by-nights, no one-offs on our show, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, something that he talked about that I was really, really was interested in was when he talked about being in L.A. for 15 years. That's a long time. So it wasn't like he was only there for 1 year, 2 years, not even 5 years. I mean, to be there and to work in that industry for 15 years, I mean, that's very impressive in itself.
Yeah, and that's a tough industry in a very tough town, so I really applaud him. And I do admire him for going back to, I like to call it the simple life of Saskatchewan, but it's a simpler life and a better life. Not better, just, yeah, it is a better life, I have to admit, so.
I was going to say, I would kind of say the way that you guys describe it and where he is in his life, kind of where I am too, I would venture to say that it actually is a better life. But, you know, one thing that I noticed too, for people like Dean, when they actually, when you're in your career, you make that decision to kind of go back home and to kind of do your thing there. And I've noticed with a lot of my friends in television journalism, and it seemed like the same thing happened with Dean, it's weird because they actually get more recognition when they leave and go back to their hometown than they did, you know, prior to that. So that's kind of a weird dynamic of how that, you know, of how that worked, because now with him being there in Canada, like, you know, everybody, you know, kind of knows who he is, and not only there in Canada, you know, in the U.S. and all over the place now. So in that sense, he's really making a name for himself.
And it's good. I think it restores confidence in the people who actually live in Saskatchewan, that if you go someplace and come back, you go back because you want to. And I think that kind of sincerity and honesty is undervalued in this world sometimes.
Well, and not only that, you know, you can go back if you want to, but more importantly, you can go back and be successful at what it is that's your passion and what you want to do. He's a clear example of that.
Absolutely. Very, very good.
Well, this has been an absolutely wonderful show. So we are back on the air again. Who's our next interview with?
Our next interview is going to be on the 16th, and I encourage everybody to go ahead and bring a box of tissues because we'll be interviewing Debbie Tibbles, author of the new book, All Aboard, How Ollie Tibbles Became a Train. I read this book. It took me 3 hours, and that was 3 hours of crying. I went through a roll of paper towels, and I'm not even crying like weeping, Victoria. I'm like snot-dripping tear crying.
Oh, my goodness.
So, she's a great person,
sobbing.
And she's got a great story.
Well, I am looking forward to that. Michael, I'm looking here at our files, and it looks like you have some music left over, and I see Shelley Rand Gumdrop. So we've got about 3 more minutes left, so I am going to be quiet, and I'm going to let you go, and I think we can finish out the show and go ahead and listen to a Shelley Gumdrop. But I'll let you tell everybody what it's from, then I'll say goodbye to you, then I'll go ahead and play it. So tell everybody what the song is from.
Absolutely. Shelley Rand visited At Home with Victoria a while back, and Steve Silberman from the award-winning web series Pretty had contacted her to write a bumper for the show. So what you're going to listen to is the Gumdrop song via Shelley Rand with her stink on it. It's quite funny, and you're going to enjoy it. But thanks a lot for the show, Vic. It was a fantastic one, and I'm so happy you loved Dean. And thanks to Mom, too.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yes, we definitely love Dean. And don't forget, and you know what, I forgot to ask, is Dean on Facebook, isn't he?
Yeah, I put his Facebook information in the chat room. So it's just Facebook, Dean Renwick, R-E-N-W-I-C-K.
And also his information is inside Michael and I information on Blog Talk Radio. But, you know, friend him on Facebook because that way you can kind of follow him and see what he's doing in Canada. And I'm sure he'll have many projects in the U.S. I have no doubt after seeing his work. But, you know, make sure you friend him. But in any event, Michael, I love you. Goodbye. So we're going to go ahead and listen to Shelley, okay?
You got it. Love you, honey. Happy birthday again.
Thank you so much. And let's go ahead and listen to Shelley. Again, I want to thank everybody so much for taking the time to listening to At Home with Victoria. We had the opportunity with entertainment co-host Michael Kay to interview fashion designer Dean Renwick, who is from Canada. So make sure you Google him, follow him on Facebook, and also check out some of his designs. Again, Michael and I will be back on the air on the 16th. We look forward to it. Thank you, all of you that were inside the chat room. And as always, I do, from the bottom of my heart, want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen to At Home with Victoria tonight. I am going to head to my new Pilates machine that I got for my birthday. I'll let you know on Facebook how that's going to work out for me. Good night, everybody, and God bless.